Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, but oh, man, I'm hungry.
What are you trying to do? It's about that season now. You could go down there and get you some of them mud bugs where you bite the tail and suck the head. How does that sound?
Ew, gross, man.
And that's right. Today's podcast is talking about eating clean and unclean. What animals we can eat and what animals we can't eat. And those, filthy little bottom feeders are not on the list of things we can eat.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people think that go ahead.
My bad. I stepped on you. I just, you know, it's surprising how disgusting the lives of some of these creatures are, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, in the instance of crawfish and stuff like that, or crawdads or mud bugs, depending on where you live, like, we're getting into increasingly more contaminated living situations and stuff. Like, the environments where these crawfish or where these pigs or where these different types of animals live are becoming filthier and filthier. And a lot of these animals' jobs, a lot of their, like, the purpose that they serve is to actually filter out toxins, is to actually, like, decontaminate the living circumstances or these ecosystems, or the bottom of the ocean or the bottom of the lake or the bottom of the stream, or going through and contaminate or cleaning up some of the dead rotten carcasses within the forest or in the pastures or anything like that. Like, these are, they're just not fit for human consumption.
Dude, I was driving today.
That's just how it is.
I was driving today and I saw some vultures just chowing down on some squirrel guts. And I was like, how fitting that we're talking about this topic today, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not to say that these animals are just like, we should eradicate them because they're just, you know, filthy animals and stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying at all. They serve their purpose. It's just one of their purposes is not, you know, for human consumption. Yeah. And like, I'm not saying this from like an elitist standpoint. Like, this was one of the hangups that I had in particular with pigs. When I first started walking this way was, like, okay, like, for example, I raise pigs and I raise pigs cleaner than any kind of controlled animal feeding operation, any kind of large scale farm. Like, they are very, very, as far as pigs go, they're about as clean as you can get. Meaning like their living conditions and their diet and stuff like that. And I always had, this was just one of those things that I had a hang up on.
Yeah. I think many people do, and it's okay. Like, this is, you know, that's, I think people have this mindset when they are being exposed to any kind of instructions from the father where they're like, ah, that's too much. I can't do it all. It's like an overwhelming feeling. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The reality is that we just slowly learn and go along, you know, like, he will teach us in increments that won't overwhelm us. And as you go along, you get a fuller and fuller picture. So take the stress out of your lives, people. It's all good.
Yeah. And like, honestly, dude, I was one of those people beforehand where I was like, hey man, every part of a pig tastes good. Like, every part of it. And then I finally had to come to the conclusion, like, well, okay, so an interesting little side note was that when I would do the carnivore diet, like, when I did it beforehand, like, it was, like, pig just did not sound good. Like, it never sounded, like, appetizing or anything like that. I always wanted, a ruminant-type meat. Pork just never sounded good, which seems odd, doing, like, the carnivore diet and stuff. But I finally had to come to the conclusion, like, do I understand this with pigs? Even though I raise them in a clean manner, like, do I understand with this with pigs? Not fully. But, you know, my father loves me. He knows what's best for me. And I'm going to obey him because I love him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the perfect attitude, right? Because, I mean, I think we all think we know what's right to do in our own sight. I've been guilty of this many, many times, you know? And at the end of the day, the only place you can land that's safe is being like, oh, well, the father said this, so I just better do it. Whether I fully understand it or not, he'll bring me into that understanding as time goes on, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
now, before we get into the topic, oh, go ahead.
One more thing. So I have always been a big fan of pepperoni pizza, specifically pepperoni and mushroom. Like, that's my jam. And recently I started eating pepperoni pizza again because I found turkey pepperoni. And I can't tell the difference. Now, granted, I haven't eaten pork in a minute, but like, my taste buds are happy. You know what I mean? So there's options out there, people.
So I will say this, like, if you buy that, it comes in a red bag, that kind of pepperoni, I can't remember. It's like Hormel or something like that. I would say you might actually be safe, because chances are there ain't a whole lot of real meat in that pepperoni. All the artificial flavorings, the additives, and all that type of stuff. You might want to check the ingredients, and you might not see any pork on that list. It might just be straight up, like, synthetic.
Yes, synthetic.
Which I would argue that's probably not clean as well. Like the probably worse. Yeah, it's probably worse for you. But that brings me into a whole nother thought, but I'll save that. So before we get into the topic, a little bit of housekeeping. If you want to sign up to give your testimony on Exiled Strangers, then shoot us an email at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. And yeah, we'd love to have you on the podcast. It's completely anonymous. Remember, we do this anonymous because this information and what we're saying is not about us. We don't want to glorify us. All glory to be to the Father. And into the topic now.
Yeah, but real quick, think about it for a second. Process like this fake meat, the lab-grown meat, right?
I was thinking the same thing.
Do you know what that is? Like, think about it real quick. That's robot poop.
Okay, I wasn't thinking that. Yeah, you're right. That is robot poop. You know what it also doesn't have? It doesn't have a cloven hoof.
No.
It doesn't have a cloven hoof. Like, I don't think that... This just popped into my head, but I don't think that manufactured, like, factory meat is actually meat. I mean, actually be clean.
Yeah, no, it's straight up robot poop, and you should not be eating it. Think about genetics-wise. I mean, we can go into this all day, but I'm just saying, you know, like,
right?
Who knows? They're putting COVID mRNA something or other into, like, beauty products now, you know, like into facial things. They're doing everything they can, so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I probably shouldn't have said those words now that I'm just, like, thinking about it. They're probably still catchwords. My bad.
That ain't the worst thing we've said on this podcast. Or not bad, not even meaning it's bad, just offensive to, certain groups of people.
To algorithms, yeah.
To algorithms. Which, isn't that the name of a demon?
It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. But that wouldn't surprise me. We should look that up at some point.
I remember listening to a episode of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, and he was breaking down the etymology of algorithm and how it actually has ties to some ancient Babylonian demon.
Oh, tight.
Yeah. Tight. So you want to start this off by, I think it's a good idea to start this off by defining what is clean, like defining what the Bible says we can and can't eat, what's clean food, what's unclean, and stuff like that. And that starts us off in Leviticus 11.
Well, yeah, so this is like the handbook for eating, this chapter here. And you get a bits and pieces of instruction here and there too, but like, it's pretty simple. You want to know how the Father says we should eat? Just go to this chapter and check off the list. You know what I mean? It's simple.
Yep.
Yeah, you want me to start off?
Yeah, you got it. Just if you get tired of reading, just hand it off. I'll be following along. Are you in the Septuagint?
I can. I'll probably just read it out of the scriptures today.
Okay, if you read out of the scriptures, then I'll follow along in the Septuagint and see if anything differs.
Cool. All right, it says, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying to them, speak to the children of Yasharel, saying, these are the living creatures which you do eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatever has a split hoof completely divided, chewing the cud among the beasts, that you do eat. Only these you do not eat among those that chew the cud, or those that have a split hoof. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you. And the rabbit, because it chews the cud but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you. And the hare, because it chews the cud but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you. And the oink, the pig, though it has a split hoof, completely divided, yet does not chew the cud, it is unclean to you. Their flesh you do not eat, and their carcasses you do not touch. They are unclean to you. These you do eat of all that are in the waters. Anyone that has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, or in the rivers, that you do eat. But all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, all that move in the waters, or any living being which is in the waters, they are an abomination to you. Dang, not just unclean. They're an abomination to you.
Yeah.
Says they are an abomination to you. Of their flesh you do not eat, and their carcasses you abominate. All that have not fins or scales in the waters are an abomination to you. It's driving it home. And these you do abominate among the birds. They are not eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the vulture and the black vulture and the hawk and the falcon after its kind. Every raven after its kind. And the ostrich. Uh-oh. What about those ostrich eggs?
Oh, man.
Don't eat those. And the nighthawk.
I've eaten a few of those.
Same. I have in my past. Well, once. But it says, and the nighthawk, and the seagull, and the hawk after its kind, and the little owl, and the fisher owl, and the great owl, and the white owl, and the pelican, and the carrion vulture, and the stork, and the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat. Okay. Don't eat those. And most of these don't sound very appetizing. These are mainly birds of prey or like flying rodents, you know. The ostrich is an interesting one, right?
Yeah, that one. Okay, so the ostrich doesn't show up in the Septuagint. I wonder if there's like an alternative name for that. Because there are quite a few bird names in the Septuagint that I do not recognize. Yeah. Like... Yeah, like night raven, red bill, stuff like that. The hoopoe, I definitely don't know what that is.
I don't know, to be honest. even the apostolic polyglot says the purple-legged stork. It's like, not any stork, but those with the purple legs. But it's interesting. And perhaps it's because they are some freaky deaky dinosaurs. You know what I mean? Ostriches are crazy.
It could be. Yeah.
No. Never mind. Yeah. I'm not getting into the dinosaurs. And... All right. That's a whole other wormhole there.
yeah. What do you get? Around. A fallen angel plus a chicken? Ostrich.
Yeah. All right. Verse 20, it says, all flying insects that creep on all fours is an abomination to you. Only these you do eat of, every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These of them you do eat, the arbe locust after its kind, the solam locust after its kind, the hargol locust after its kind, and the Hagab locust after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet are an abomination to you. And by these you are made unclean, Anyone touching the carcasses of any of them is unclean until the evening. And anyone picking up part of the carcass of any of them has to wash his garments and shall be unclean until evening. Every beast that has a split hoof, not completely divided, or does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Anyone who touches their carcass is unclean. And whatever goes on its paws, among all the creatures that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Anyone who touches their carcass is unclean until evening. And he who picks up their carcass has to wash his garments and shall be unclean until evening. They are unclean to you. And these are the unclean to you among the creeping creatures that creep on the earth, the mole, and the mouse, and the tortoise after its kind, and the gecko, and the land crocodile, and the sand reptile, and the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Anyone who touches them when they are dead becomes unclean until evening. You want to pick up on 32? I just realized I'm just hogging the whole chapter, bro.
No, you're good. Let me switch over to the scripture so we can be on the same page. And whatever any of them in its dead state falls upon becomes unclean, whether it is any wooden object or garment or skin or sack, any object in which work is done, it is put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening, then it shall be clean. Any earthen vessel in which any of them falls, whatever is in it becomes unclean, and you break it. Any of the food which might be eaten, on which water comes, becomes unclean, and any drink which might be drunk from it becomes unclean. And on whatever any of their carcasses falls upon unclean, an oven or cooking range, it is broken down. They are unclean and are unclean to you. But a fountain or a well, a collection of water, is clean, but whatever touches their carcass is unclean. And when any of their carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it is clean. Which shows me composting is fine.
Yeah.
But when any water is put on the seed and any part of any such carcass falls on it, it is unclean to you. And when any of the beasts which are yours or food dies, he who touches its carcass becomes unclean until evening. And he who eats of its carcass has to wash his garments and shall be unclean until evening. And he who picks up its carcass has to wash his garments and shall be unclean until evening. And every swarming creature, the one that swarms on the earth, is an abomination. It is not eaten. Whatever crawls on its stomach and whatever goes on all fours and whatever has many feet among all swarming creatures, the ones swarming on the earth, these you do not eat, for they are an abomination. Do not make yourselves abominable with any swarming creature, the one swarming, and do not make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall set yourselves apart, and you shall be set apart, for I am set apart. And do not defile yourselves with any swarming creature, the one creeping on the earth. For I am Yahweh who is bringing you up out of the land of Mitzrayim, or Egypt, to be your Elohim. And you shall be set apart, for I am set apart. This is the Torah of the beasts and the birds and every living being, the creeping creature in the waters, and every being that swarms on the earth, to make a distinction between the unclean and the clean, and between the living creature that is eaten and the living creature that is not eaten.
Boom.
For he is Yahuwah our Elohim, which puts a stamp on it there.
Yeah. Like, and that's exactly it. Like, just because he said so, like, I'm okay, even if I don't fully understand certain things, you know, or like,
yeah,
you know, I can be a bit of a knuckle dragger. So if you have some, like, you know, unclean animal that's dead and I go drag it out and just toss it in a hole and bury it or something, or, you know, whatever the case, like, to me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wash my hands and I'm all right. I mean, but like, he says you're unclean till evening. Okay, so be it. You know what I mean? Like, this is just something that he has prescribed. And he says to wash your whole body, which is just fine with me too. You know, like, go take a shower, you dirty kids. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, which is hard to argue. Like,
yeah.
If you touch an animal, you should probably go, you know, bathe afterwards. Like, don't skip bathing that day.
Yeah, like the whole washing with water thing is just, it just makes sense practically, you know?
Yeah. And I have pigs. Like, I interact with them, I mean, almost every day. Like, not every day do I actually touch them, but I go feed them and give them water and move them every day. I don't move them every day, but I interact with them to some extent every day. Yeah. So it's not like I'm saying, like, oh, you should never touch these animals or anything like that. Like, you're doing wrong by coming in contact with these animals. Right now, these animals are serving a purpose for me. They're clearing a new growth forest so I can get access and start cutting stuff down and reclaiming some of that land for pasture, for silvopasture, so sheep can then be brought in and I can start eating some animals.
Yeah. And the thing is too, is you touch them, you're not unclean, right? It's if you touch their carcass, like their dead carcass. So that like throws in the whole other element to where like what happens in the process of decay, you know what I mean? So rapidly perhaps in these different animals. And what's interesting too, it talks about any of these little creeping creatures, like if they like die, like in there in a bowl or whatever else, like it's like, get rid of that bowl, you know? And I don't know, like I just, you know, haven't really come across that I can remember in recent years, but it does happen. You know what I mean? Especially if you got a stack of bowls like in the back of your cupboard or something. Something to think about, you know? Like, I don't know. I guess we won't get into the ins and outs of... go ahead.
If you have, like, rat poison out and, like, the rat takes a nibble and then walks over, like, crawls over to, like, your dish cupboard or something like that and dies in one of your dishes, that totally happens.
Yeah. And I just say... if it's me at this point now, I'm just going to be like, all right, let's throw this dish out with the rat. Like, you know?
Yeah. He said, shooting target, the dish.
Right. Oh, we're going like a Western shooting gallery now, are we?
Yeah, dude. Might as well make it fun. Are you there? You froze up for a second.
Yeah, my bad. A little crazy weather coming
through. No, you're good. Got some technical difficulties, but y'all are used to that.
Yeah. Hey, if anybody's not aware, like infrastructure in the United States isn't the best. You know, it's pretty good compared to a lot of other countries, but it's not the best. You know.
Yeah, that's. I mean, surprisingly, yeah, that is accurate. So one of the rebuttals to why we no longer need to eat clean is Acts 10. And Peter's dream. So you want to go ahead and break that down for everybody? So just so you guys know, we presented like what is clean, what is unclean. And then we're going to offer the rebuttals that are given to why we no longer have to eat biblically clean anymore. And we're going to kind of try to break those down as best as possible. So starting in Acts 10, like Peter's dream is something that comes up. Like I remember my in-laws brought this up whenever we were telling like them, hey, we're eating clean now. Acts 10 is brought up. So
yeah. And I've heard this. So I've
let's
heard
go
this
ahead argued. And dissect that.
I've heard this argued so many go different ahead. Ways too. Like, and it's interesting too. A lot of people in the mainstream, mainstream train of thought, they won't even say like, oh, the Messiah did away with all the laws. They'll just go to here. Peter had a dream and said that all things are clean because they think it says something that it doesn't. I've even heard people say the correct interpretation of this and say, and it also means that we could eat all foods. And I'm like, whoa, where are you pulling that from? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, and we should also set the precedent that like, we can all agree that Yahuwah does not change, right? He is the same today as he was then, as he is forever, right? He does not change. So, like, for him to all of a sudden say, okay, that food is clean now, that would indicate some sort of change has happened, right? No. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, and everybody kind of forgets the point that, like, all of these animals that they say are unclean, they carry a lot of, like, parasites and bacteria, all this kind of stuff, because they either, like you mentioned earlier, they either like are kind of like the filters for certain ecosystems, or they're like animals of prey and they eat decaying flesh, you know, like it's,
yeah,
yeah. Anyways, it's not like all of a sudden they don't do those things and their actual flesh itself has become like healthy for us. Like there's a practical nature to Yahuwah's instructions, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah,
these animals serve a purpose, just not as food.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All right. Acts chapter 10. It says, "Now there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a captain of what was called the Italian regiment, dedicated and fearing Elohim with all his household, doing many kind deeds to the people and praying to Elohim always." So what we have out of the gate, first two verses, is we have somebody who would be considered a Gentile of the nations, right? Who has decided and set his heart to follow Yahuwah. He says here, he was dedicated and fearing Elohim, right? So doing many kind deeds. He's got some good right behavior going on. All right. It says, "He clearly saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, a messenger of Elohim coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius, and looking intently at him and becoming afraid, he said, 'What is it, master?' And he said to him, 'Your prayers and your kind deeds have come up for a remembrance before Elohim. And now send men to Yafo or Joppa and send for Shimon, who is also called Kepha, so Simon Peter. He is staying with Shimon, a leather tanner, whose house is by the sea.' And when the messenger who spoke to him went away, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a dedicated soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And having explained to them all, he sent them to Yafo or Joppa." Okay, so we get a really cool look at Cornelius, right? He fears Yah, he keeps his commands. He's a praying man, his whole household, like they're doing good enough to where the remembrance of what he's doing has come up before Elohim.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So verse 9, it says, "And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Kepha went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became hungry and wished to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance. And he saw the heavens opened and a certain vessel like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth." It's like a cool picnic. It says, "In which were all kinds of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping creatures, and the birds of the heavens. And a voice came to him, 'Rise up, Kepha, slay and eat.' But Kepha said, 'Not at all, master, because I have never eaten whatever is common or unclean.' And a voice came to him again the second time, 'What Elohim has cleansed, you do not consider common.' And this took place three times, and the vessel was taken back to the heavens. And while Kepha was doubting within himself about what the vision might mean, look, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, having asked for the house of Shimon, stood at the gate. And calling out, they inquired whether Shimon, also known as Kepha, was staying there. And as Kepha was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'See, three men seek you. But rise up, go down, and go with them, not doubting at all, for I have sent them.' So Kepha went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Look, I am the one you seek. Why have you come?' And they said, 'Cornelius, the captain, a righteous man,'" so he's keeping Yah's ways, righteousness, "'and the one who fears Elohim and well spoken of by the entire nation of the Yahudim, was instructed by a set apart messenger to send for you to his house and to hear words from you.' So inviting them in, he housed them. And on the next day, Kepha went away with them, and some brothers from Joppa went with him. And the following day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, having called together his relatives and close friends. And it came to be that when Kepha entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and bowed before him. But Kepha raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And talking with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And he said to them, "You know that a Yehudi man is not allowed to associate with or go to one of another race. But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." So,
bam.
There's the interpretation right there of all the beasts of the earth. He's likening the difference between Jew and Gentile. You know, Yehudi or Greek. So those in Judea that are keeping the ways and the nations that are being evangelized. He's saying, yo, Kepha, stop it with this dispensational thought. You know, like,
yep.
I said, go out to the highways and byways, you know, go out to the nations.
Mm-hmm. So that a lot of people use those verses as an example of like, don't call unclean, like they take it and they apply it to food, when clearly that, like, if you just keep reading, you can very clearly see that that was not in reference to food at all. That was in reference to Jews versus Gentiles. Like, yes, go speak to everybody, not just Jews, speak to everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I've noticed like a lot of confusion when it comes to scripture is solved by just like keep reading. Either read before the verse that had confusion or after the verse that had confusion. And usually you get a clarifying answer. Not saying that applies all the time, because there are still some mysteries in scripture to me, for sure. But like the majority of the time, the answer is in scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to continue on reading, actually, because it's going to drive home the point a little more. So after he says, "Elohim has showed me not to call any man common or unclean," he says, "That is why I came without hesitation when I was sent for. So I ask, why have you sent for me?" And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and see, a man stood before me in shining garments. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your kind deeds were remembered before Elohim. Now send to Yafo or Joppa, and call Shimon here, who is also called Kepha. He is staying in the house of Shimon, a leather tanner by the sea. When he comes, he shall speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. And now we are all present before Elohim to hear all that you have been commanded by Elohim." And opening his mouth, Kepha said, "Truly, I see that Elohim shows no partiality. But in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. He sent the word to the children of Yisrael, bringing the good news, peace through Yahusha the Messiah. He is master of all. You know what word came to be throughout all Yehuda, beginning from Galilee after the immersion which Yochanan proclaimed. How Elohim did anoint Yahusha of Nazareth with the set-apart spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For Elohim was with him, and we are witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Yahudim and in Yerushalayim, whom they even killed by hanging on a timber. Elohim raised up this one on the third day and let him be seen, not to all the people, but to witnesses, those having been chosen before by Elohim, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness, that it is he who was appointed by Elohim to be judge of the living and the dead. To this one, all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone believing in him does receive forgiveness of sins." So anyways, I wanted to keep going there because when he starts to speak the message that Cornelius sent for, right? He sent for Kepha to hear, to be ministered to by Kepha. So he says, truly I see that Elohim shows no partiality, but in every nation,
yep,
he who fears Yahweh and works righteousness, so keeps his commandments, is accepted by him. He just like, where in there does it say to go eat a big pork sandwich? You know what I mean? Like, I don't see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's very clearly talking about, like, the nations, not food at all. Otherwise, he came to the wrong conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got a lot going on here. And it specifically says that the set-apart spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is what told and instructed Kepha on what the vision meant. You know, I ain't going to argue with the Ruach. You know, that's dangerous waters right there.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, you're going to lose every time.
Yeah. There's no way to come out ahead with the spirit of truth. I mean, that's literally, you know, okay. So Peter's dream, everybody, has nothing to do with your lunchtime choices. You know what I mean? Yep. It has everything to do with the house of Yahweh being opened to every nation, tribe, and tongue. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's not much to add to that. Like, it's said right there. And, the question is answered just by reading further. The context is, like, the true meaning of that dream is revealed later in the text.
And then,
Do you want to move on? Oh, go ahead. My bad.
No, that's just the interesting part about when people reference Peter's dream, because not only do they not read the end, but they completely dismiss the beginning when it describes a man of the nations, right, Cornelius, and it describes that he is converted and is following Yahuwah, you know? That gives us our like preparatory context before going into the vision Peter had. But
yeah. And if this had to do with anything about food, then there's a lot of extra detail that just doesn't make sense. Like if this was pertaining to food, this dream, then why did we get the rest of the story? Like, why did we get the rest of the backstory?
If it pertained to food, it would have been like, Peter had this sick dream where this big picnic blanket came down and all this food. And then he went down to the bazaar and he chowed down on a big pork bratwurst, or he went and bit the head off a bat. You know, like that's not what happened here.
No.
Yeah. So look,
Mark 7.
Yeah. I was going to say the other one that everybody tends to go to on this is Mark 7. And these are the words of the Messiah here. So we're going to go ahead and start at verse 14. It says, and calling the crowd to him, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. There is no matter that enters a man from outside which is able to defile him, but it is what comes out of him that defiles the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he went from the crowd into a house, his taught ones asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside is unable to defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purging all the foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil reasonings, adulteries, whorings, murders, thefts, greedy desires, wickedness, deceit, indecency, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these wicked matters come from within and defile a man. But everybody I talk to about this one always goes to like, look, he says, whatever goes into your stomach doesn't matter. It won't defile or make you unclean. And it's like, well, hold on a second. One, where there's a difference between the word defiled and unclean. Right. There just is. Anyways, without getting into that too much, he's using like the human digestive system as a metaphor saying like, look, you know what happens when you eat some food? It just comes out as poop, you know?
Yep.
Like, he's like, so the same way, like, whatever enters into you, so whatever you're exposed to isn't what defiles you, but it's what you allow to come out of your heart based on that. You know what I mean? If you give in to those right. wicked desires. Because if you go on the premise that he's saying all foods are clean, then literally in verse 20, it says, and he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. That means every time you go to the bathroom, you're coming out defiled. You know, if you want to go with those
sometimes after a certain Mexican restaurant. Yeah, I'm pretty defiled after that.
Well, hey, bro, have you heard of poopery?
Yeah. That stuff you spray in the toilet bowl.
Bro, that stuff actually works pretty good.
It depends on the smell. Some of them are like, man, this is almost worse than that stinky dump.
Okay.
Some of them, I don't know. Some of them just don't work out right. Some of them you just smell poopery and poop. But some of them aren't too bad.
I'm just saying, man, like, you know, if you're going over to a friend's house, like to a party, and your tummy doesn't feel too good, and you're like, oop, I might not be able to make it the whole night, it could be a good strategy to pick up some poopery. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
And we are not a sponsor of poopery, but if they're listening, you can send us a couple bottles, you know?
Maybe I'm just the type of person that's like, yeah, we're all going to suffer with this one.
Oh, man. Oh, so you're the kind that comes out.
Okay.
Wait. You're the kind that comes out and leaves the door open and it wafts into the living room.
Oh, man. Okay. So what's the reasoning for using the poopery? To make sure nobody knows you took a dump in there? All right. So if they smell poopery, they're going to know you're trying to cover up something. And then the assumption might be worse. Maybe the correct route to go is just like, hey, it is what it is.
No, you're wrong.
This is what's going on.
Let me tell you why you're wrong. So if you use some poopery, right? Spray, and then you have full, like, bombs away moment, okay? Bombs away.
Yep. And paint the bowl.
Quick flush. And then someone's like, hey, who used poopery in here? And you'd be like, no, it's not poopery. I started using Lumi. So I use Lumi on my butt. And that's the smell you're smelling. There's
either way, you got problems.
It's a multi-layered defense, okay?
Or you could just make life simpler and, hey, it is what it is. I took a fat, stinky dump in here. Yeah. What are you going to do about it? It's already done.
Hey, or there's the whole thing we talked about on the preparedness videos. Just go take a dump outside. So long as the party's not in the backyard, just you should be fine.
Bury it though. Don't be filthy. Bury it.
Yeah, you gotta bury it.
And use the right leaves. Yeah. Use the correct leaves. Oh, that was one thing I forgot to mullein, by the way, y'all. Mullein is an excellent leaf to wipe with. It is soft, it is thick, it's not gonna break on you. You know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Oh, man. You know what, dude? Like, our little rabbit trails are getting better and better. I love them.
Yeah.
If anybody can't be instructed by both the real important stuff here, the scripture, and then our silly rabbit trails, like, I don't know what we're doing. But
shoot, they ain't listening. They ain't paying attention then.
Yeah, because everybody poops. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Everybody does. All right. So another one that's been brought up to me. Everybody poops, dude.
There's somebody in my life who's going to listen to this episode, and that person's going to be like, how did you guys get on the topic of poop again? Like, again.
We might be in the body of adults, but we're actually just 9-year-olds.
Make no mistake. Oh, boy. All right. So what were you saying, bro? Sorry.
Oh, man. Oh, you're good. So another like argument that's been presented to me was now I will say the person who presented this argument was like scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like it was just a lazy rebuttal at this point.
Yeah.
So also a little side note, I enjoy arguments. Now, argument doesn't mean like you're yelling at each other and you're mad at each other or anything like that. But to me, an argument is a discussion between two different points in search of truth. Like, what is the actual truth about this? Not everybody enjoys arguments. A lot of people, or not even a lot of people, but some people get flustered and angry and they can't hear an opposing thought or idea without having like an emotional response. So that is kind of setting the scene when this was presented to me with the Genesis 9. You want me to go ahead and read it? I got it pulled up. So Genesis 9, and then we'll go backward and forward around Genesis 9 to provide context. And so just starting in verse 1, and Elohim blessed Noah and his sons and said to him, "Be fruitful and increase and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you is on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the heavens, and all that creeps on the ground, and on all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they have been given. Every creeping creature that lives is food for you. I have given you all as I gave the green plants, but do not eat flesh with its lifeblood, with its life, its blood." Hold on, sorry. 9:4 is, "But do not eat flesh with its life, its blood, but only your blood for your lives I require, and from the hand of every beast I require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I require the life of man." And then it goes on to like, you know, do not murder and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But right there it says, "Every creeping creature that lives is food for you. I have given you all as I gave the green plants." That was presented as an argument as to like, you know, go ahead and you like, so Noah is before Moses, but Noah seems to have been told like every creeping creature that lives is food for you. So there's a couple different ways you can like dissect that point of view. You could say, you know, well, that was before, you know, Moses was given the law. Like, this isn't the correct argument, but it is another argument to combat that argument there. Is like, okay, well, Noah was before Moses. Like, this was before, you know, the law of unclean and clean food was given. That's an easy argument there. But if you do more dissection into this, was it meat that we looked up or that you looked up?
Yeah,
the definition of meat.
So they translate it in the scriptures as food, but Septuagint, even the KJV, reads meat.
Yeah. So the ancient Hebrew definition, the pictograph of the palm is a picture of the bent palm, or the pictograph, it's a picture that you guys can't see right here, is a picture of the bent palm representing the bending or subduing of the will. It looks like a J, is a picture of the shepherd's staff or yoke. Combined, these mean tame for the yoke, an animal or land that is tamed, has been worked, and is complete and ready to use. Taming include construction of holding pens, putting the soil to the plow, harvesting of crops, milk, or meat. One eats once the harvest is complete. So it's basically... To me, it reads that he's giving dominion of all these animals to Noah.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the context...
Almost saying like, hey, you're greater than these animals. Like,
he's literally finishing his thought from verse 2, where it says, "The fear of you and the dread of you is on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the heavens, on all that creeps on the ground, and on all the fish of the sea. Into your hand, they have been given."
Right.
It's just finishing off that thought. The problem with this is like the Strongs, you know, Strongs will say to consume, devour, eat food, meat. But meat has a different definition there. You know, this is like, it is basically at your disposal. You have power over it. You have to be careful with Strongs sometimes. They have a a different set of lenses they're looking through when they're giving definitions.
Now, real quick, before we get into the pairs and everything, to me, this also gives a sense of responsibility. Like, if it's under your dominion, then it's also your responsibility to take care of it. And to take care of these animals, to take care of them, but also take care of their environment. Because if they're in a sick environment, then the animals are going to be sick and stuff like that. But, like, these are under your charge. And if they're under your charge, then you have a responsibility to take care of them, which means, like, you know, just like 90% of the crap we do in this earth probably shouldn't be doing if it's ruining the environment of what we've been given charge over.
Yep. I agree. That's like you're to perform husbandry on the land and with the animals and, you know, take care of them.
Right. That doesn't mean go through and wipe out all the lions. It means, you know, provide a good habitat for the lions. Or it doesn't mean like go through like, oh, we came to North America and then we wiped out almost all the bison. That's not what that means. It means like you said, perform husbandry with the bison, like responsibly harvest the bison. But also like leave an environment that is still suitable for the bison. Which means don't do like the mainstream methods of constantly tilling the earth, which created the Dust Bowl, which, you know, creates a horrible environment. Like there is one spot in Kansas that I know of that still has like legit native prairie grass and like those species and stuff. I'll get off my soapbox and stuff like that. It just seems like we're given dominion over these guys. We're supposed to be taking care of them and providing the correct environment. By no means am I like some crazy tree hugger and I think that these animals' lives are greater than humans. Not thinking that at all. It's just, you know, there's a difference between killing the lion that is attempting to attack the camp versus killing the lion so I can mount it on my wall.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
Hey,
real quick, you said tree hugger and it reminded me that I was at the hardware store the other day and I saw this guy wearing a t-shirt and it had an image of like a tree stump and then a tree falling over, right? Like it had just been cut. And the caption on the t-shirt said, don't worry. I hugged it first, you know? And I thought that was the coolest t-shirt.
That's awesome. That's a good response.
Yeah,
that's a good response. I've been cutting down some trees in that new growth forest and I've been receiving a little bit of hate for it lately. So that'll have to be my new response. Don't worry. I hugged it first.
Yeah. Don't worry. I gave it a little love.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. So yeah, like, look, that argument using Genesis 9 there, it gets saying like this is before Sinai, that the instructions and weren't there before then. It's a total lie, right? Like, modern day Judaism says that the Torah, so Yah's instructions, came at Sinai. And that's not true. That's not true. They're eternal. They've been around forever. If we look at Genesis 7, starting at verse 1, is it cool if I read this, bro?
You got it.
All right. It says, "And Yahweh said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And you guys, righteousness is walking in Yahweh's ways, you know, keeping his commands.
Yeah.
It goes on to say, "Of all the clean beasts, take with you 7 pairs, a male and his female. And of the beasts that are unclean, 2, a male and his female. And of the birds of the heavens, 7 pairs, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of the earth. And after 7 more days, I am sending rain on the earth," right? So this is right before the flood. And he says, "Of the clean beasts, take 7 pairs." They're got to eat while they're on the ark. You know what I mean? The earth was flooded for 150 days. And he's clearly speaking to Noah, like, He's not telling them which beasts are clean or unclean. He's saying, hey, the ones that you already know are clean, like, take seven pairs. Right. And the ones you already know are unclean, just take a pair, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of destroys the whole idea that instructions came only at Sinai. But
right.
What do I know, man? I just make poop jokes over here, you know?
Worse than that, you use potpourri. Embrace the funk.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't always use potpourri. In fact, I think I've only used it once or twice. But when I did, I felt safe. I felt like judgment was far from me. Okay. Maybe it was just like a mental thing where I'm like, okay, nobody knows. I just had to take a number two, you know.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh man.
There you go. It happened again in the same episode. It came up again.
Oh yeah.
We're just gonna see poop if jokes come up in every episode. Here's the thing: is it mentions instruction? It
probably will.
Yeah, and there's instruction in scripture for going to the bathroom, so I feel like that gives us free rein to discuss going to the bathroom.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, it's a function that everybody does.
Yeah, to a degree. And if anybody's kids are listening, I bet that they're cracking up laughing every time we say poop. I bet
you're it just welcome. Happened.
Yeah. It's a happy yep. day for the whole family, guys.
Yep. Oh, man. So, yeah, I think that, like, as far as the clean eating, as far as, like, what we can eat, and then some of the common rebuttals, I think we did a decent job in, like, presenting the argument for you guys. Yeah, we're still supposed to eat what we're supposed to eat, and we're not supposed to eat what we're not supposed to eat. It still applies.
And if I may, like, this is something that I did when I was, like, coming to understand that we are to still walk in Yahuwah's instructions, all that applies to us, you know. And this is a tip that I heard Rob Skiba say, and he used this in reference to, like, biblical cosmology, but it works across the board. If you go to the Father in prayer and ask the Father to remove your preconceived notions, your biases, all the doctrines that we've been taught that are not accurate, and ask him to reveal his truth in whichever matter, like, the Father will certainly answer that prayer. Like, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Take it there first and then continue studying. And I guarantee that the Ruach is going to reveal the truth of the matter to you. And don't stress, because I'll speak for myself. Like, I used to eat all kinds of unclean meat. I used to eat shrimp like crazy, you know, a little cockroach of the sea. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God for his mercy.
No, yeah, dude, I used to destroy pigs. Like, I could easily eat, like, a pig's worth of ribs at a sitting. Like, in one sitting. I used to, you know, every part of a pig was tasted to me at that time. But no longer. Like, the original reason I have these pigs was, I was still cleaning up the new growth forest and stuff like that. But also, I intended on eating these pigs. If I didn't, I wouldn't have gotten so many. Like, not only did I intend on, like, eating these pigs, but I intended on filling my family members' freezers with the pigs.
Yeah.
Like, that was the full-blown plan. Now, I can't do that. So I intend on, they're going to be, you know, cleaning new growth forest for me. And at that point, once they've completed their job, I'll see if somebody else needs pigs to clean up their new growth forest for them.
Yeah, they're literally brush hogs, you know?
Yeah, like, and they do. Like, if anybody has some new growth forest and they're like, man, I wish this would be, like, more of, like, a more comfortable forest to, you know, walk through and stuff like that, pigs do a fantastic job. In fact, there's this famous farmer named Joel Salatin, and he refers to them as, like, little four-wheel drive bulldozers. Like, the front of their nose is a shovel.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job. And, okay, let's say none of these other arguments, like you just can't remember the other arguments or the other scriptures or something like that, you can always go back to Matthew 5:17, where Yeshua is saying, "Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Whoever, then, breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the reign of heavens, but whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of heavens." So, like, that right there, that is the, like, checkmate to anybody saying that, you know, Yeshua came to abolish the law. Because he says right there, "Do not think I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets."
And when are heaven and earth going to pass away?
Well, we're still here, so I don't know.
I would say a big old never. It gets what's the word? Terraformed? Is that?
That's a word.
Yeah, but like where you like change the landscape, like cause it to be inhabitable. It's like that goofy idea about Mars. Yeah. If, you know, you could get out the dome and if Mars is a real planet. Yeah, like basically the kingdom's going to refashion the earth. And Jeremiah 31 says if any of these like ordinances, you know, the signs and stuff in the heaven, the sun and the moon, if they stop from being a thing, then Yasharel will cease from existing before Yahuwah. So it's like, that's not going to happen. You know, he's just straight up telling you, like, don't worry. You know, I'm going to keep a remnant forever. Yeah. Great. I'm glad you brought this up, bro. That was perfect.
Yes, man. Just try to put a cap on that.
Yeah.
Well, you got any final words for the listener so far?
Oh, I don't think so today. This is, I think, a good, fruitful discussion, man.
Yeah, me too. Guys, don't forget, like, if you want to sign up for a testimony, then hit up emailedstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. If you want to, I mean, that's the email you can send, like, your sign up for the testimony. Also, if you want to, like, if you have any comments or questions or, like, you know, hate mail, all that type of stuff, you can send it all over to there. Also, if you're listening, whatever podcast player you're listening on, go ahead and leave a review. It helps out the podcast quite a bit. It helps show the podcast to other people who are, you know, on their podcast player. And if you're on YouTube, leave a comment, hit the thumbs up button. Go ahead and subscribe to us, you know.
Yeah.
Do all those good things if you want to help support the podcast. And
Yeah. We're fun.
Yeah, we tell poop jokes
and we stories. We do more than that, but we also do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a well-rounded podcast here.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, we'll see you guys.